Welcome to 239 Uncensored. Everything Southwest Florida and beyond with your host, Tim Jarrett. This podcast covers it all. Real talk on issues from real estate to real crime. Join the discussion on hot topics to politics. Don't get left behind. Be in the know about everything Southwest Florida and beyond.
Hello, this is Tim Jarrett, 239 Uncensored. And listen, we've got the best guest of all, a really good friend of mine. We met up in the FBI Academy. We'll talk about that a little bit later. Beverly Lewis, commander from LAPD. She just recently retired. Are you there, Bev?
I'm here.
All right. We are so glad to have you on, man. It's been a long time since we actually seen each other. We get to go to a conference or something in between in the summer, but we haven't done that in a while.
Yeah, what an honor to be here. Yeah, COVID kind of put a monkey wrench in our program, but, you know, everyone's dealing with the same thing, so we'll roll with the punches.
Yeah, you know, I'm really proud. There's a bunch of folks in the FBI NA that we went with. I know we have Sheriff Mina up in Orange County. He's the sheriff. We have yourself, LAPD. We have members that we know from all over the United States and the world. So it's one of the really cool things. And, you know, just having the opportunity to talk to you tonight is just kind of really cool for me. And I love those stories.
It's my honor. Yeah, we do have a really great group that we went to Quantico with, and everybody's doing some really great things, some good police work across the world. I was going to say across the country, but actually across the world.
Yeah, it's amazing. Yeah, mm-hmm. Commander, you started in 1991, if I'm correct, and, you know, a lot of things have changed in law enforcement. What are some of the big things that you've noticed? Just obviously in the last year it's changed, but since 1991, that's when I started, 90, I know a lot of things have changed.
A lot has changed. Oh, gosh, you're dating me to your audience. You're letting them know how old I am.
Well, you look young.
Well, since I started, I think that the computers in the car has changed about five times. And the radios have gotten smaller. And, you know, when I started, we didn't have body-worn video. That's a huge, huge change in the way we do things. Just the way we reported things, you know, now we're doing online reporting. When I started, we took our reports with a pen and paper. You had to handwrite your report. You know, now these youngsters, they go into the station, they're doing it on a computer, they're doing it from the car. I feel like a dinosaur telling this story, but literally we used to handwrite our reports and then you would take it to the watch commander. I remember, and you had those old school watch commanders that if they didn't like the way you wrote it or they found an error, they wouldn't even underline. They would just rip it up and make you start all over again.
So. Oh, yeah, yeah. I remember that, where they would take it and they'd take a red pen and just start writing red pen, red pen. And then you can't use a report, so you got to go back and rewrite it again. You know, really?
Absolutely, yeah. Yeah. So a lot of things have changed. Just, you know, all the mountains of paperwork that these young officers have to do now, and all the equipment they're carrying besides body worn and a taser and the recorders. And, you know, I tell them it's almost like the Macarena dance when they get out the car, all the things they have to press and activate, you know, digital in-car video. It's just really changed in how they do things and how they document everything from when I started.
Yeah, to be honest with you, I can't believe, you know, all the technology that's out there, and for them to go out and do what they do with the type of equipment that they have, it's amazing. I mean, they really do a good job, and you can see how they operate in the cars. I mean, they're like multitasking. They got a phone ringing,
absolutely.
They got the computer ringing, you know, all kinds of stuff going on, and they just do it like that's their job. You know, that's what they do.
Well, that's these millennials. They're so used to technology, where you put someone like, you know, from our time who hasn't been out in the field in a while, you put them in a car, they'd be lost because it's too many different things to operate at the same time. But these kids, they multitask and make it look so easy. And then they run and go in foot pursuit carrying all this extra equipment on them as well.
Yeah, you know, and sometimes, you know, it's kind of too bad, but they get the bad rap. But the reality is these young officers do a really good job. I mean, they work hard, and it's a tough time to be in law enforcement. And for them to continue to still want to be a part of it, I praise them every day.
And they're really, it's right now they're really getting beat up and they're still going back out there. You know, what other profession runs into the fire when things are happening? You know, as much as people love the fire department and everyone loves the firefighter, but when, you know, when stuff goes down, they wait on the corner until we go in and make it safe. Then they come in. But everyone loves the firefighter.
I know. I always laugh. It's funny. Like, I'm sure, Commander, you've been to a lot of calls where there's a fire truck parked down the road with like six guys that are about 240, 260 waiting for you.
Yes.
To give them permission to come into the scene and say it's okay. And these guys are like, right. Okay, we can come now. It's good.
Oh, I'm like, we've cleared it because it's hot. They're waiting for us.
Yeah.
They get the call first, but then they call us for us to go in and clear it.
That's great. That's great. So, yeah, I know you've done pretty much everything in the agency. You worked patrol, detective in 1997, I believe, and then you became a sergeant in 2000, lieutenant in 2006. We knew each other in 13. I think you were just getting ready to be promoted to captain. I mean, that's pretty cool. You've been through all the ranks. You've done it all.
You know what? I have been so incredibly fortunate that I've worked every job that I pursued on this department. And, you know, I'm fortunate. We have so many assignments on LAPD, and you could do something. You can promote every 2 years if you want to, and you can be everything from a narcotics officer. You can be a canine handler. You can ride the mounted unit. If you know, if you like dogs, you can do that. If you, even if you like swimming, we have a dive team. I'm not a swimmer.
Dive team. Yeah. Yeah.
Not my thing, but I've been really, really fortunate. I wanted to do this job since I was 5 years old. You know, there was a television show on called Get Christy Love, and she was an African-American female detective, and she was just a badass, but she always looked great, and she was fashionable when she did her job. And I was like, that's what I want to do. And I was fortunate enough to be able to, you know, do the job that I wanted to do as a little girl and work all the really cool assignments, you know. You know, I'm a cop at heart, so I love chasing bad guys and you know, especially when I work narcotics and you're operating with a knucklehead who doesn't realize you're a cop and they think they're so smart and you're buying dope from someone and then you end up putting them in jail a couple hours later.
That's a good feeling. That's a reward. Yeah, but I can tell you, though, you meet that perfect definition. I mean, you first class all the way, you're sharp, you're squared away. It's like when you get around you, you know, like you're tightening up your uniform because you're so squared away, you know, and that's very impressive. It's just awesome.
Well, thank you. You know, you always want to lead by example. Even when I was a young police officer, I had some really sharp training officers who had a lot of time on the job, a lot of time in the field, and they always talked about make sure that your uniform was tight, your boots were always shined, your nails were cut short and groomed, and your hair was always together. And one of my TOs told me, he said, you always make sure your camera ready. Anytime there's a camera in your face, that you look squared away because you're representing LAPD and the fine history of this police department.
Wow.
And that's
those
the
are
way
good
I
words.
Always carried myself through my career.
Wow, those are good words. Unbelievable. And you know what I think is really cool about LAPD or NYPD? I mean, you guys have at least 100 shows that depict your agency, depict you in some cases. I mean, do they get it right, Bev? Do they get it correct?
No, they don't. And that's why it's so hard for me to watch cop shows because you know, I guess if they do it the way we actually do it, it's not as exciting for television because like we don't get DNA back in 30 minutes. So
really,
really. So when I watch these shows and I'm like, you can't do that. Or now there's a show on with Edie Falco and she's supposed to be the first female chief of police for LAPD. And it makes me nuts when I watch that show because they'll have the rank on the neck, which is, you know, a command officer with for instance, they'll have captain bars with sergeant stripes on the sleeves. And I'm like, who is your technical advisor? Jesus Christ.
Get that right.
Get it right. It's so simple. And we have this long thread. We'll go like, who saw that show? Who did they hire? So, you know, I understand, you know, some things they get close. Probably one of the best shows that I've seen, I'm actually binge watching it now, is Bosch. And, you know, it's based on LAPD. He's a Hollywood detective and near and dear to my heart because I used to be the commanding officer for Hollywood detectives. And it's filmed at my old station, and the lieutenant's office is my old office.
Wow.
So they get it right. They film in the city. It's not on the sound stage. So all the scenes that you're showing are actually in the streets of LA. They had a scene where they shot a police academy graduation. It was actually at our police headquarters. So that show comes pretty close to reality. But a lot of the shows, you know, they take creative licensing to make it more entertaining. Like, for instance, when you see SWAT, the SWAT show that's on now.
Yes.
And the guy who's in charge of SWAT, and he's wearing he has a goatee on his face. That would never happen on my department. Never.
Not going to get away with that.
No, that face is going to be clean shaven if you're in uniform.
That's kind of neat though. And you bring that perspective to light. Do you think that you've ever been looked at, or do you think Hollywood's looked at you and maybe made a character out of you, or actually a person out of you?
Who knows? They may have. I mean, I've been interviewed a lot of times because I've worked a bunch of units where I was the only woman. And recently I was just interviewed quite a bit with in the media because the chief made two historic promotions when he promoted Deputy Chief Scott, who she was the first African-American female commander in the history of LAPD. And then he promoted her to deputy chief. And then he promoted me to commander. So I was then the second one. So he interviewed us and some other women about women in policing and our roles and, you know, breaking the glass ceiling and working in areas where traditionally they didn't have, in assignments where they didn't have a lot of women. So who knows? People may have interviewed us and taken little bits and pieces from our respective careers and made them into a character, but not knowingly modeled it after me. I don't know.
Right, right. But I don't even know if you realize, and you probably do, how cool that is. I mean, your agency's been around for 150 years, and to be that highly rated in that regard and be one of the highest command staff people ever in LAPD, that's got to be just cool.
You know, it is very cool, and I'm so incredibly proud. And, you know, you don't think about it as you're moving through your career. You're just kind of doing it. And, you know, everyone has their own goals that they set for themselves. It wasn't until they had a meet and greet for Chief Scott and myself, and I was there. And this young officer came up to us, and she held onto our hands, and she just started crying.
Wow.
And she just looked at us and she said, because of you two, I know now that I can reach all the goals that I set for myself. So, you know, that whole thing of being a role model, you don't think about it. You go through and you do what you do and you hopefully set a great example for, you know, for the people that work around you and especially for women, because there's so, you know, we're a minority in this profession. And to have someone literally cry in front of me because they see me do something and now they feel that it's possible for them.
Yeah, what a feeling that's got to be. It's got to be amazing.
It's a great feeling.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is an amazing feeling.
Yeah, and I think you're right. When you're going through the ranks and you're kind of doing the everyday grind and you're doing it, I mean, I don't think it hits you as hard. I've been fortunate enough in my career to get to a higher point than most people would, because it's hard work, but, you know, right time, right place, all that stuff. And like to think and do a good job at it. But when you're there and you have somebody come up to you and realize how much of an influence you are on them is just amazing. I'm sure it's just a great feeling. And you'll think about it forever, you know?
Absolutely. It is a great feeling. And if, you know, anything I could do to assist anyone and, you know, help open a door and make a way for them and help them get past the hurdle. It's, you know, it's my honor because this is the absolute best profession. And I've haven't regretted making this choice to become a police officer.
That's just awesome.
Been a blast.
Yeah. You know, I know this next thing is near and dear to your heart. I know you're a huge New England Patriot fan and a Boston Red Sox fan.
Oh my God. You did not do your research.
The reason why I'm saying that is every time I put anything Patriots, Bev always chimes in on Facebook and nails me. I mean, she hammers me. Oh, she gets me good. But Brady, everything. She's on me all the time because she knows I like the Pats.
And
yeah. So any chance she can, she gets me. Now, you were raised in Brooklyn and you ended up out in LA. Tell me how that happened and what are some of the bigger differences of the East Coast and the West Coast?
Oh, huge difference. Okay. So I was born in South America, raised in Brooklyn. I moved to Brooklyn when I was 6 years old. And then I moved to Los Angeles when I was probably about 24. And I moved because of the weather. I came out here 1 year in March. My whole family are runners. And I came to watch my cousin run the marathon. And when I left New York, I had on this big old parka. And then my cousin met me at the airport wearing dolphin shorts. And it was March. And I was like, what the heck? So I was like, okay, this is how you guys are living out here. I want some of this. And so I ended up transferring. I wasn't on the police department yet and, you know, worked for a while and then decided to finally pursue my dream job of becoming a police officer. But biggest difference, obviously, the weather and just the way people interact with each other. New Yorkers are very direct, straight to the point. You know, we're a commuter city, so we're used to talking to people on the street. Hey, how you doing? And if people don't like you, they tell you, you know, an old lady will tell you to go F yourself in New York. We're in California. Everyone, it's a community where people drive. They're not used to talking to people on the street.
Right.
And when you meet people here, the first thing they want to know is, well, where do you live? What do you do? And everyone's an actor, producer, something. No one has one job. They always are aspiring to do some other thing. And, you know, everyone has big boobs. I don't know if I could say that on your show.
239 Uncensored. We're good.
Yeah. You know, if a guy is coming out here, you meet a girl, you don't know how many parts are original parts.
A lot of spare parts.
But it's just a total different vibe. You know, here's kind of laid back, but very, a lot more superficial. New York is really kind of real. And then sports is so different. You go to a game back east, if you're a fan of whatever team, you are a fan from birth till you die.
Yes.
You go to a game, you're there till the last inning, whatever it is. Here in I went to a Laker game when I first moved out here, and the game is tied up, and I see people leaving. That's when they were at the Forum. I'm like, why are these people leaving? Everyone's trying to beat traffic.
You're like, just stay.
And I'm like, are you kidding me right now? So that's the difference where it's like, oh, yeah, that's my team now. But, oh, this other team's doing well. I may switch over. So that's how the coasts are different. The way just kind of how we get down with things, it's very different. You know, your neighbors may not care for you, but they'd be like, oh, how you doing? Where in New York, they're not messing with you.
They'd be like, I don't want no part of that person.
I don't want no part of that.
Yeah, so I definitely know. We have, you know, I live in Florida. Obviously, everybody knows mm-hmm. that. But we live in Florida, so it's very similar. I mean, the Miami sports is crazy. I mean, 1 year, you know, the Dolphins would be playing, and there's more fans going there to see the Patriots or the Jets or whoever's in town than they are the Dolphins. So I'm like, loyalty, I mean, if they're over 500, of course, the Dolphins had some rough years lately, but if they're over 500, yeah, they get a few more people there. But you'll go over there and you'll end up getting in fights with you know, people of your own team, you know, like, hey, it's just crazy.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
That's crazy. LA. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's crazy. I know. And this is kind of a cool thing. I think in the past there's been some situations where you guys have actually had to arrest like Spider-Man. I think you've arrested a Spider-Man before and a couple other characters. Tell me about that.
So when you work, Hollywood is a different kind of place. Well, Los Angeles is a place where people come where they want to be famous. And like I said, you know, everyone wants to be an actress, a producer or whatever. And then Hollywood Boulevard, you see that melting pot of all of that. And on the boulevard, you have these people. A lot of them are starving actors who they dress up in as the different characters, from Michael Jackson to Superman to Chewbacca. And, you know, they panhandle, and the tourists come and pay them money to take pictures with them, right, with them in character. So we had a gentleman who was assaulted, and my detectives rolled out to deal with it. And I happened to be in the area, and I go out with them, and they're speaking to the victim. And then he's like, oh yeah, Spider-Man beat me up. And then we roll up there, and there's like four Spider-Mans up there. And then you have like Michael Jackson and Batman and Chewbacca as your witnesses to your crime.
Just do a photo lineup, please.
Right. So which Spider-Man is it's and the victim's adamant. I'm telling you, Spider-Man beat me up. It's like, which one?
Oh gosh, that's going crazy.
So how do you do a street a field show up with a Spider-Man costume?
I think if I remember reading correctly, I think Chewbacca got loaded too. Didn't he? Wasn't he like mouthing around Chewbacca?
Yeah, and then Chewbacca starts talking shit. And, you know, he's the hostile witness. And you're like, calm down, Chewie, calm down. But only in Hollywood. Where else would that happen? Awesome.
Hey, Chewie, you're going to the pokey tonight. It's not a good night.
And, you know, try handcuffing him and getting around all the fur.
Oh, God, that's classic. That's classic. All right, now let's get into the juicy stuff. You know, we want to know. It's Hollywood, right? It's L.A.
Hollywood.
It's everything's cool. Have you ever had like a, what's your coolest Hollywood sighting? And have you ever stopped anybody in on the job that's been like somebody really cool or maybe not so cool, but it was kind of funny to talk about?
I have. Well, as far as cool, back in the day when I was still a patrol officer, and I would go out to calls. We went to Vin Scully's house.
Okay.
For a call. I think they set off the alarm or something. And he is just, well, out here, he's a legend because, you know, all the Dodgers out here.
Sure.
Just the nicest man. He had a beautiful black bottom pool. And he was like, oh, come and swim. And he's like, oh, forget about the report. Just come and hang out. So that was pretty cool. When Hollywood, when I had a massive case when I was there as the commanding officer, where we had these celebrities whose homes were being broken into, and it was the suspects were all teenagers, and they were utilizing social media to find out when the celebrities were gone, and they would break into their homes. So we had Paris Hilton, Lindsay Lohan, Orlando Bloom. Those were our victims. And, you know, it was amazing when I would go on follow-ups to these calls, like to Lindsay Lohan's house. And you think, okay, well, tell us what's missing, whatever. And she's just kind of like, whatever. You know, these folks, they get all this stuff loaned to them. And it's like, all right, my manager's making me report it to you, but I really couldn't give a damn. You know, that kind of thing.
Yeah, exactly. You know? I got no time for you.
I have no time for you, little person, little police officer. Don't bore me with all this.
But did they correct the problem or did these kids keep doing it?
No, that's the thing. You know, you go to one of the celebrities, you know, the keys were left underneath the doormat. You know, so you would think if you leave your keys under the doormat and the person, your house gets burglarized, you would not leave the keys under the doormat anymore. You change the locks and then have a armed guards or at least security patrolling the grounds of your massive property? No. Same thing. Broke into her house, took the keys, and then she left the keys there again, and they broke in a second time.
I think I'm going to go back. I think I got an opportunity to have a little bit of money or, you know, little jewelry.
Yeah. There's a movie about it. It's called The Bling Ring. Sofia Coppola made a movie about it.
Interesting. Interesting. Mm-hmm. But no, we get a little of that. Little bit that comes from Miami. We have, some people that like to lay low in the Naples area and Fort Myers area. But for the most part, we stay pretty quiet when it comes to the celebrity sightings every now and then. I think Tom Brady was sighted, though. I know he's your favorite, but he was sighted. So it's good.
Probably one of the funniest sightings. It wasn't even an arrest that I made. A friend of mine, when we were both working patrol together, he was one of those, you know, by the book, letter of the law kind of people. So one day he had cited this blind man for jaywalking. And then the following day he stopped Shaq when Shaq was playing for Orlando. And it was, it's Shaq. How do you not know it's Shaq? He's 7 feet freaking tall.
Oh, he's a monster. He's...
And he wrote Shaq a ticket. Yes. And then the next day, he ended up getting shot. And the big joke around the station was that Shaq and the blind man put a contract out on him.
Hey, Shaq, when you go around that guy, I've had the opportunity to be around him a couple times. That guy, you don't realize, like, he's just like, he's a mountain of a man. It's unbelievable.
He's
unbelievable.
Yeah, he's tall. He's big both ways, up and height and width.
Yeah.
He's huge.
And he's a huge law enforcement supporter. I mean, I think one of his dream jobs is to be a sheriff in Florida somewhere. Yeah.
He was a reserve out here.
Yeah, he was. I think out there, and he's also done some time as a reserve officer at North Miami Beach, I believe. And then he's got a couple badges. But without taking too much of your time, this is always a fun question to ask my police officer guest. What was one of the coolest cases that you have done or made an arrest on and took someone to jail? I know you work detective, so I'm sure there are hundreds, but what was one that really stood out?
So we had a case, Hollywood again, and it was just featured on Dateline a couple of weeks ago, where we prosecuted a no-body homicide. And it was very similar to the Peterson case where the husband claimed that he was going to Mexico to look for the suspects because the wife was supposed to meet him there. And when we got the call initially and it was a missing persons case, and the mom kept saying that the victim, her name was Leslie Herring, and her mom kept saying, "I know something's wrong," because we would speak to each other every day. "And I know something happened to my daughter." And initially they didn't suspect the husband because she had a great relationship with her son-in-law. But as we started talking to him, you know, when you talk to someone and you know their story's not making sense and they're not making eye contact with you and stuff's not tracking. And we just started getting hinked up that something happened to her. And then we ended up having some cadaver dogs go out there, and the dogs hit on his car. And we know he ended up killing her in the tub, and he took her body out of the house in her car, in the car, and claimed that he was going to go to Mexico and to find her. And he had long dreadlocks, and he changed the way his hair. He cut his dreads off, and then he said that some gang members had attacked him and cut his hair off, all kinds of bullshit. But we ended up getting a conviction on that without a body. And it was really nice to get some closure for that family. And it's very, very difficult to get a conviction on a no-body homicide, because the first thing is find a body and you get whatever physical evidence is there to support your conviction. But we were able to really work and put things together and get a conviction on that case.
Yeah.
Really, really great caper.
Nice job. I mean, the hours and time that you spend on that, but to get the satisfaction of being able to finally pull everything together, get with the family, obviously it's a true tragedy. You know, they lost their daughter and they lost, you know, somewhat of a son-in-law at some point, but just to put that all together and be able to, you know, go there and say we were able to, you know, make this case and get a conviction is unbelievable.
Absolutely. Yeah. We never found her body. He wouldn't give it up.
Yeah. That's crazy.
You know, at least he's sitting behind bars thinking about what he did.
Yeah. Well, great job, Commander.
Thank you.
Keeping us all proud, and it's great knowing you. And, I know you're going to come visit. You're going to come to Florida. We had discussed that earlier. This COVID stuff gets wrapped
COVID
up.
This COVID is messing us up, but yeah. I need to get down there to visit. And thank you for having me on your show.
No, this is a fun time. And anytime you want to come on, you get some good stories or something fun, just let us know. You're the connection out in L.A. And we really want to thank you for being on.
Well, I appreciate it. Anytime you guys want to know what's going on in L.A., just hit me up.
Yeah, there's nothing going on out there. You guys are so quiet. It's just a small little place. I mean, that's big time out there, L.A.
Just crazy riots going on.
Yeah, you be safe out there. And we really care a lot about you, Bev. And if you need anything this way, let us know.
Will do. Thank you for having me.
Oh, yeah. It's been a pleasure. 239 Uncensored. We've had a great time, and make sure to listen in to the next episode. We're out. Please make sure to download and listen to us on Apple, Spotify, and Google Podcasts. And don't forget to like and share on social media. That was fun.